This is VOA News. I'm Victor Beatty. The Trump administration attempting to head off potential investigations involving the U.S. in Afghanistan and Israel in the Middle East warned the International Criminal Court it faces a tough response. White House National Security Advisor John Bolton Monday called the ICC ineffective, unaccountable, and dangerous. He justified efforts to head off the court's investigation of U.S. military action in Afghanistan.
Literally any day now, the ICC may announce the start of a formal investigation against these American patriots who voluntarily signed on to go into harm's way to protect our nation, our homes, and our families in the wake of the 9/11 attacks.
Bolton said the U.S. would use any means necessary to protect its citizens and those of its allies from unjust prosecution, but what he called an illegitimate court, including banning ICC officials from U.S. soil, sanctioning their funding, and prosecuting their officials in U.S. courts. He also announced closure of the Palestine Liberation Organization office in Washington out of concern for an ICC probe of Israel called on by Palestinians.
Reflecting congressional concern with Palestinian attempts to prompt an ICC investigation of Israel, the Department of State will announce the closure of the Palestine Liberation Organization office here in Washington, D.C.
The U.S. said the PLO office closure followed previous warnings about a lack of progress toward direct, meaningful peace talks with Israel. Palestinian diplomat Saeed Barakat called the office closure affirmation of the Trump administration's policy to punish the Palestinian people. The body of former U.N. Secretary General Kofi Annan was returned to his home country of Ghana Monday. He received a hero's welcome at the international airport in Accra. A state funeral is planned for Thursday. Annan died in Switzerland August 18 at age 80. This is VOA News. South Korea's President Moon Jae-in has called for bold decisions to break the U.S.-North Korea impasse over denuclearization. The appeal comes ahead of a summit with North Korea's leader Kim Jong-un next week in Pyongyang. Monday, the White House confirmed President Donald Trump received a letter from North Korean leader Kim asking for a second meeting following their June summit. Sarah Huckabee Sanders is a White House spokesperson.
It was a very warm, very positive letter. We won't release the full letter unless the North Korean leader agrees that we should. The primary purpose of the letter was to request and look to schedule another meeting with the president, which we are open to and are already in the process of coordinating that.
She said it exhibits a continued commitment by Pyongyang to denuclearize the Korean Peninsula. In Libya, several armed men attacked the headquarters of the National Oil Corporation in Tripoli Monday, killing two staff members. Two gunmen were also killed, 10 staffers wounded. There was no immediate claim of responsibility. Turkey's defense minister appealed to Syria and Russia to hold airstrikes on rebel-held Idlib province bordering Turkey. Hulusi Akar said the priority is to put an end as soon as possible to ground and air attacks and implement a ceasefire. Meanwhile, the president of the Humanitarian Relief Foundation, Bulent Yildirim, said a big offensive is expected and could result in a migration inside the province of up to 1 million people. And senior UN emergency official Mark Lowcock warned such an attack could lead to a major loss of life.
There needs to be ways of dealing with this problem that don't turn the next few months in Idlib into the worst humanitarian catastrophe with the biggest loss of life of the 21st century.
He said more than 30,000 have already fled their homes. Iraqi Prime Minister Haider al-Abadi visited the southern restive city of Basra Monday, rocked by deadly protests against poor public services, corruption, and unemployment. He said Basra is on the right path and appealed for cooperation with efforts to provide better services. He called the unrest a purely political dispute. At least 13 died. Dozens were injured in clashes with security force members. The leaders of Ethiopian Eritrea presided over the reopening of their border crossing for road transport for the first time since hostilities broke out 20 years ago. It's the latest sign of a thaw between the Horn of African neighbors since Ethiopia's Abiy Ahmed became prime minister in April. Canadian and U.S. negotiators resumed talks in Washington Tuesday trying to conclude a new trade agreement to replace the North American Free Trade Pact after U.S. and Mexico reached a similar deal last month. U.S. stocks ended Monday mostly higher, ending a four-day losing streak, but the Dow Jones Index lost nearly 60 points to 25,857. I'm Victor Beatty, VOA News.